welcome you to Flat Springs Baptist Church this morning for worship and communion. If we have visitors in the audience, I still haven't been here long enough to know how to spot visitors amongst our regular folks, but if you are visiting with us, know that we graciously accept your presence and would like for you to fill out a visitor's card and drop it in the offering plate in a little bit. Jesus, the great high priest. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. Father, we come claiming the promise that where two or more are gathered together, you are there with us. And Lord, I pray that you will turn our eyes only on you this morning. Father, pull the distractions from around us, put them aside, and let us only see you. Father, as we partake of Holy Communion later on, we pray that this will be a blessing to all of us. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Let's stand and sing 629, God of Our Fathers. Stand as we sing, please.
Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come here today to worship you, Lord. Please be with those listed on our prayer list. You know their needs and their concerns. And please take this offering, Lord, to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Children for our sermon. All right. It's good to be with you again, boys and girls. Y'all look so pretty this morning. This time of year is when we usually go on vacation, isn't it? And I bet some of our friends are on vacation right now. I bet they are. If you've ever gone on a trip, you know that it takes a lot of preparation before you leave home. If you get the newspaper, you probably have get somebody to look, get that in your mail. If you have a cat or a dog or any kind of pet, you probably need somebody to take care of that pet, don't you? But the biggest thing you need to do to prepare is to pack your suitcase, right? You got to have your suitcase. I brought my suitcase, or one of the pieces to my suitcase today, and when we go on a trip, we have to pack. Especially if you're going to stay a week. What do we have to pack? Suitcase when we go somewhere. Clothes, that's right. Probably an that'd be one. Okay. What else do we have to pack in our suitcase? Okay. What? Shorts, that's right. It's summertime. Come on, y'all know you've been on a trip. What else? Okay. Extra pair of shoes, flip-flops for the beach. Swimsuit, exactly. Okay. And maybe towel, something like that. Jesus was on earth that he traveled from village to village. And he was teaching while he was traveling. He was healing people while he was traveling. And you might think that Jesus lived out of a suitcase. But let's listen to what he says. Sometimes he took his disciples with him on a trip. And You might think this is strange, but listen to what Jesus said. I'm going to read in Mark. Of course, Mark, New Testament, isn't it? The second book in the New Testament. I'm going to read Mark 6, 8 through 9. And this is when Jesus was teaching, and his 12 disciples were with him traveling from village to village. And this is what he told them. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. Now, a staff is something like a walking stick, isn't it? That you hold as it helps you walk along. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. A tunic was like the clothes that they wore. Now that seems strange, doesn't it? They did not have to pack their jacket or pants that they wore and just wear that tunic, but nothing else. Good question. The reason that Jesus told his disciples this is to tell them that they must trust in him and have faith that he will take care of them. People along the way will provide you with things that they need. Do you have faith that Jesus provides everything for you?
Yes.
He provides everything you need. I hope so, because that is what Jesus does for all of us. He wants us to remember this, and he wants us to thank him in prayer that he provides everything that we need. Okay? Let's pray about that. Dear Lord, we thank you for letting these children come today. We ask you to bless each one of them, and we ask you to help us to remember that you provide what we need. In thy name we pray. Amen. Okay, hope to see you next Sunday.
Sharing from the Lord's table. We invite all those who are baptized believers to join us at the Lord's table as we come to share communion. It said on the night when our Lord was partaking of the Passover meal, that at the end of that meal, reminding the people of how God had brought them out of captivity and slavery from Egypt and given them a chosen land, he instituted the Lord's Supper to tell us that you and I can come out of the slavery of sin and be headed toward the promised land that God has made. On that night, after he had done it, he took a piece of bread and he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body and I give it for you." Would you pray with me? God, in just a moment we'll hold in our hands a small piece of unleavened wafer. But what we really hold in our heart is the fact that you gave yourself up on Calvary's cross to pay the price for our sin and to grant us life and life everlasting, to free us from the power of sin and to record our name in the Lamb's Book of Life that we might spend eternity with you. Would you now be with us? As we share from your table, may you speak to our heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is the bread which came down out of heaven when Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. And on that same night, our Lord took a cup, the Elijah cup, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said these difficult words to hear. This is my blood, which is shed for you. Heavenly Father, it pains our heart that your blood was necessarily shed to cleanse us from the unrighteousness that separated us from your Father and from yourself. And so, O God, in this moment, when in a moment we shall hold in our hands a cup of the very lifeblood of a grape, the fruit of the vine, may we be mindful of how much you loved us, that you shed your blood for us. In Christ's name we pray. And according to the law, I may almost say that all things are cleansed through the shedding of blood. And apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus our Lord cleanseth us from all our sin. The bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we have shared from Your table in the midst of our worship, we pray that You might receive our worship and our praise. For we love You, Lord, in Christ's name.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Give me Jesus. I love that hymn that says, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world can afford. What a powerful message. Let me invite you to open your bulletins to our prayer concerns, and there are some names I'd like to add to that today. First, I'd like to add the name of the family of Mary Doris Cameron Apple. That is Bunny Height's mom, who passed away this past week. And I'd like to also add the family of Thomas Lyons. That's Arlene Ash's brother, who passed away, and his funeral is this afternoon. And then finally, a friend of a family member, a cousin of my wife's, Jeff Mann, passed away up in Virginia. I would certainly ask that we would covet your prayers for his family in this time of loss. Willard West continues to need our prayers as we pray for him. It's good to see Becca back on this side of the pond from China. Been praying for her, and we're glad that she's back. Peggy Shepherd, and we have several. I see Sarah McGehee in worship with us today. We have several dealing with the possibility of surgery on their knees, and we want to keep them lifted up. We want to continue to remember Don Ray Keith in our prayers, dealing with that very same thing. We are excited that Paul is here. He's over in the overflow room. We appreciate your prayers for him and ask that you would continue to remember him in your prayers. And my daughter Melissa, who's also here, will be having surgery, her second carpal tunnel release, next week. And we'd ask you to keep her in your prayers. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, yesterday we celebrated the birth of our nation. And we thank you, God, for America. We thank you for her rich heritage, for the many ways she has blessed the people of her nation and the people of your world. And God, we pray for her now that you might guide her and direct her into the uncertain future of this world of yours. God, we pray for the names that we have mentioned and those that are on this list, some we may not have mentioned, but Lord, you know them. And your power is strong. And you have said that when we come before you, you hear our prayers. And so we lift them to you, asking for your grace, for your comfort, for your strength, for your mercy, for your healing. And God, as we continue to worship you this day, may you speak to us clearly. In Christ's name we ask. Let me invite you now to open your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, as today we begin a series we've been talking all this year from last January about life-changing things, life-changing declarations. And now we look at life-changing stories that Jesus told, parables we call them. Parables are those stories, we might want to use the word metaphor. That story that makes us think. That story that causes us to pause for a moment. And sometimes it hooks us with a, yeah, I see what you're saying. And sometimes it just challenges us to think about how we think about things. Today, we're going to read both the parable and in the rare occasion where Jesus actually gives us his own interpretation of his parable. But I have found them to be amazing things. Have you ever noticed how God's word can say one thing to you at one time and something entirely different when you're at another place in life? That surely is the Holy Spirit. In the story of the parable, where you dive in, oh, you could talk about the sower. You could talk about just the seed. You could talk about the soil. You could talk about how the path got trampled. You could talk about what the birds must have looked like that came and devoured the seed. Today, he who hath an ear, let's just hear what God says to us. As we're going to talk about sowing the good seed, as we read together Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 4, we will read through verse 15. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town to town had come to him, he said a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it choked it out. And some fell into good soil, and it grew, and it yielded 100-fold. And he said, these things he called out. He who has an ear, let him hear. And by the way, that was the end of the parable. That's all Jesus said to the congregation. Verse 9. And when his disciples asked him what the parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in the parables, so that the seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. You can go find that in Isaiah chapter 6. And in that regard, he said, now this is what the parable means. Verse 11. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who've heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for that that fell on the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for that in the good soil, they are those who hear, and hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart. Let me read that again. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and a good heart and bear fruit with patience. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, for a moment this morning, would you speak to us about your seed in our heart and in our hands? In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. You may be seated. Our hymn of decision at the end of our worship today is I'll Live for Him, page 298. You might want to mark that, page 298. Parables, they make you think differently. Sometimes you can get people to act differently when they think differently. I read a story about a museum that was having trouble. They had signs all over the museum. It said, don't touch the items in the museum. There was furniture and glassware. But no matter what they'd do, they'd come by and sure enough, there'd be somebody reaching out, touching the artifacts in the museum. Until one day, a clever museum employee figured out a way and the problem evaporated overnight. He went and replaced all of the signs that said, do not touch, with caution, wash your hands immediately after touching. And suddenly nobody touched anymore. Sometimes you just need to change the way you say something, the way you think. Jesus used parables often. We're going to be looking at several from the Gospel of Luke over the next several weeks. He tells us plainly in his interpretation, and when Jesus gives us the interpretation, my goodness, we need no more help, do we? That the seed is the Word of God. The Word of God. Now, we know in John's Gospel that Jesus is the Word, the Logos, the Word of God. But we also know that our Scriptures are God's Word. But notice I didn't say the Bible. Notice I didn't say the Bible. Because you can go to the library and check out a Bible. But if you don't read it through the eyes of faith, it is not the Word of God. You understand that? It is only by faith when I come to Scripture that I understand that I am reading the Word of God. And when I understand that it is just not a Word of God, it is the Word of God, and I read it with that understanding, it begins to change me. The first thing we must remember is, it's not us. It's the Word of God. It's the seed. You see, it doesn't matter how well a farmer may cultivate his field. It doesn't matter what kind of chemicals he adds to the field. It doesn't matter how faithful he is to till it. If he plants the wrong seed or bad seed, nothing good is going to happen in the farming world. Do we understand that? It's the Word of God. It is the Word of God that brings the increase, not you, not me. It's not whether I can deliver the Word of God. I love this image. It's like a guy that just reaches in a great big bag of seed and he tosses it out with abandon. He's not concerned where it flies. He's just sowing seed. I like that image. It doesn't matter how hard that farmer works or how long he stays in the field. The crop depends on the power of the seed. And brothers and sisters, you and I who are believers, we know there is power in the Word of God. There is life-changing power because it gives us the message of Christ. And in Christ's blood, as we've just shared from this table, we are aware that there is life-changing power. Now, I want to share another important truth. Once we've got it squared away in our minds, that it is the seed, it is the Word of God that brings the increase, I don't want us to lose the second important thing, and that is our responsibility. There's a Georgia farmer, a story told. There he is, ragged and barefoot. It looks like he's just about, you know, on his last leg. And a stranger stops by for a drink of water. And he asks him, he says, "How's your cotton coming along?" He said, "I didn't plant any cotton." He said, "You didn't plant any cotton?" He said, "No, I didn't plant any. I was afraid of those boll weevils." He said, "Oh, okay. Well, how's your corn doing?" He said, "I didn't plant any corn." "You didn't plant any corn?" He said, "No, I was afraid we wouldn't get any rain to make the corn." He said, "Oh, well, how about your potatoes? How are your potatoes doing?" He said, "I ain't got no potatoes. I didn't plant any potatoes." "Why?" "I was afraid of the tater bugs." Finally, he said, "Well, what did you plant?" He said, "Nothing. I'm playing it safe this year." Playing it safe this year. I'm playing it safe this year. I wonder today, how many of us have the seed of the Word of God in our hands? And we've been playing it safe. Because what if we put it wrong? What if we do wrong with it? What if we scatter it and some of it falls on hard soil? We're playing it safe. We're playing it safe. We can't play it safe, can we? Oh, we thought that farmer was silly for planting nothing because of what might have gone wrong. We simply do the best we can with what God has blessed us with. And what has God blessed us with more than anything else, each and every one of us? The Word, the seed, His Son, our Savior. Today, very quickly this morning, as we have focused first on communion, now let us look for just a second at the soil. In fact, the first one I'm going to say very little about because that's the hard soil. That's where the Word of God makes no penetration. It's that seed that just lays on top of the ground. You go and talk to that person, and they don't really respond. I love what I believe Jerry Clower said. He said, never try to teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and irritates the pig. You understand? That's true. And sometimes I have noticed, in fact, Jesus said, when you go into a city and they refuse the gospel, you remember what he said? Dust the dust off your sandals and go elsewhere. In another verse in Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't cast the holy pearls before the swines. When you see someone's hard soul, when someone says, I don't want to hear about that, I'm not interested in your faith, I don't believe in that, walk away. Walk away. But now when you walk, continue to pray. It's our job to pray and remember. And I've got one great truth for us all that we do well to remember. Just because someone is hard soil today doesn't mean they'll be hard soil tomorrow. And if they're a friend of ours or if God puts them in our path, maybe it'll be for another time. Maybe it'll be a time when something happens in their life that changes their world. Maybe it'll be something blessed like the birth of a baby. Maybe, unfortunately, and too often, it'll be something tragic. But be aware, if someone's hard soil, you leave them alone. Well, what about rocky soil? Well, I'm glad you asked. I've got rocks in my garden. I live in Deep River. Don't we have rocks in Deep River? Thank the Lord. I don't know. We need to figure out how to market our rocks because I've got an abundance of them. And I found that they have a tendency on my tiller to break a shear pin in the tines. Nothing's more irritating than to be going along, doing your thing, and all of a sudden, you know, half the tiller's not working anymore. But they designed it that way. You know why they designed it that way? Because they know your tiller just hit something really hard. It just hit something. It just hit a rock. It hit a rock hard enough to break that tine. And if that little pin hadn't broken, there's a chance it could have damaged the whole thing. The whole tiller could have gone. Or maybe even worse, your hand holding the tiller could have gone. Rocky soil. You know, there may be some rocky soil folks in church today. I don't think there are many hard soil here. If you did, you came by somebody forcing you here. Because you wouldn't be here on your own will if you're hard soil. But rocky soil folks, they show up every now and then. It says that the Word of God, it penetrates, but it's shallow. Let me say it another way. They've got a shallow faith. They've got a shallow faith. They've got just enough religion, as my granddaddy say, to make them miserable, you know. They believe some stuff, but they're not really committed to what they believe. They go to church sometimes. This is the most frightening group. They're convinced they're saved, and they may be, and they may not be. But you know, it's equally important that we understand that if you are part of the good soil, he says, you'll be producing fruit. You'll be producing fruit. You'll be making a difference. You'll be overcoming the obstacles of the world. You'll be dealing with the rocks, but in a very important way. I couldn't help but think, as I knew we were going to do communion before this sermon, that Jesus surely didn't offer a shallow sacrifice, did he? And we held in our hands a piece of bread and said it was his body, and we held a cup and said it was his blood. I don't know how deeper you can go, do you? Rocky soil represents those who say they want to follow God, but their actions, they don't really show it. What's our job? It's to continue to share the Word of God. It's to continue to challenge them, to continue to pray. To pray even in a worship service like this, that God's Holy Spirit might penetrate and remove those rocks. You know, when I'm in my garden, every time I see a rock, I throw it out. And then I come back and I think I got three more. I don't know exactly how that works, but I'm going to keep throwing them out. I'm going to keep throwing them out. I want us to understand that when those folks who have that rocky soil, who are we going to pray for? Not to throw them out. Don't get that message. But to keep praying for God to remove the rocks, because there's good soil there. Because it couldn't take root if it wasn't good soil. But it's just got to get deeper. Today, I would encourage us all to make sure we're going deep with God, not just on the surface, not shallow. Then there's the thorny soil. I hate thorns. I had a thorn one time to ruin 6 months of my life. Well, a green thorn to ruin 6 months of my life. Do you believe that? Let me tell you a story. I was down near Garland. This was probably 15, 18 years ago, bird hunting. And we were on the last set. It was just about dark. We were making a run. We were in a place we'd never been before. Now, when you bird hunt, you wear pants that have what we call thorn, what do you call them? Where's Randy? I need him. Anyway, they deflect the thorns. I can't remember what I call them now. But anyway, and I had on a very nice pair of those pants. And so when I came up and there was a great big patch of green briars where green thorns where maybe a bird could be, I just plowed right through. And as I was walking, after having just plowed through a couple of those thorny spots, I noticed something warm in my left boot. And I thought, that's an odd feeling. And I pulled my pants leg up and I saw blood dripping down the side of my boot. In fact, it was more than dripping. It was kind of a trickle. Well, now, I was way out in the middle of nowhere. I had two hunting buddies with me. And I did the only logical thing I did. I had to see where that blood was coming from. And right in the side of my thigh, one of those green briars, just one, had missed the briar protection and pierced the side, and bless its heart, it had found an artery. You believe that? A green thorn through my pants found an artery. And now I had the smallest little squirt of blood shooting out about a foot and a half out of the side of my leg. Well, we put pressure on it. We said, it'll stop. No, it wasn't even going to slow down. I had to go get a stitch. You believe that? I had to go to Good Hope Hospital in Irwin. It's not even there anymore. And get a stitch in my leg to stop that. And then they asked that wonderful question. Have you had a tetanus shot in the last 150 years? And I said, no. No, I don't believe I have. It's 160, if I remember right. Well, I got one that day in my right arm. And bless her heart, no fault. I thought, boy, this is great. I didn't even feel the needle go in. I didn't feel the injection. This was a great shot. She's wonderful. But 3 days later, my right arm began to feel funny. And feel worse than funny. Then it started to hurt. And then it started to tingle. And sometimes it'd go numb. And I began to think, what in the world? And I went and the doctor said, we need to do a nerve conduction test. You ever had a nerve conduction test? Well, let me tell you, needles and electricity are not a good pattern to go together. But that's what a nerve conduction test is. And they did one of those on me. And for the next 5.5 months, my arm, and finally they concluded that somehow she ticked a little nerve with that tetanus shot. So a little thorn did all of that. Do you believe that? You know I don't like thorns now. Thorny soil. Thorny soil, where the Word of God is planted in fertile soil. It's good soil. It's great soil. The roots go deep. They begin to work. But then things begin to choke it out. And church, oh, church, church, church. We got thorns in the church. We got thorn bushes growing in our churches. And Jesus says, and it chokes out the good work of God. Do you hear what Jesus said when he talked about the thorny soil? As for those who fell in the thorns, verse 14, those who hear, but they go on their way and they are choked out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. You didn't hear that, did you? Let me read that again. And they were choked out by the cares. They got worried about things. by the riches. When God blesses and He gives us great things, we say, God, thank you for what you've given us. And now I don't need you anymore. And I'm going to let that part of my life be choked out because I'm going to enjoy the riches and pleasures. And pleasures of life. And then Jesus said, and their fruit does not mature. Their fruit does not grow. The thorny soul is that person who wants to do what God would have them to do. God's made undoubted penetration. They know the Word of God is true. They know Jesus is Lord of life. They know, and yet they allow other things. Sometimes I find myself in thorny places. How about you? Finally this morning, good soil. Good soil. Oh, it makes great penetration. We keep it weeded. We keep tilling it. We keep tending to it. You know what I found about good soil is you leave good soil alone long enough and what happens? It starts to grow weeds and thorns. And rocks come back up. Isn't that amazing? But when you tend good soil, when you really tend it and you take care of it, when we begin to cultivate in our life God's power, when we begin to cultivate the Holy Spirit, we're beginning to pray more every day. God bless me and use me for the kingdom. God give me a word for my neighbor. God give me a word for my family. God give me a word for the people at work. God give me a word for the people at school. God give me a word. The word of God, the seed, we can plant it. Now maybe you're here saying, I wonder where I am. I'm not hard soiled. Preacher said I wouldn't be here. So you know you're not there. By the way, you can be rocky and thorny. Just, we don't have time for that, but you can be. Rocky soil. You know, I bet we know whether we really have a shallow faith or a deep faith. Thorny soil, maybe we know we've got a deep faith, but we know lately things have been choking out our witness, choking out our willingness, choking out what we need to be. You want to know if you're good soul? We all want to be good soul. Everybody here wants to be good soul. Those are the ones who are sowing seeds. They're the ones who are sowing seeds. David Livingstone, one of the great missionaries who ever lived in Africa, was one time he got a letter saying, we've heard that you're making progress in Africa. If you found some good roads, let us know where you are. We have some men who want to come and join you. And Livingston wrote back these words, if you have men who are only willing to come, if we have good roads, I don't want them. I need men who will come if there's no road at all. Good soul. Good soul doesn't worry about where the seed goes, it just sows it. Good soil just finds a way to grow. And that growth, the Word of God, when it begins to grow, you're going to immediately say that I've become a disciple. And by being a disciple, I've got to hear the Great Commission, the Great Commission that Jesus said, go and make disciples. Go and sow the seed, Jesus said. Today, you and I have been entrusted. Everybody probably either walked in with one of these, or has one at your house, or has two at your house, or has three at your house, or has 10 at your house. The Word of God. The Word of God. Does no good in the bag, does it? Cast it. What if it's thorny soil? Cast it. What if it's hard soil? Cast it. What if it's rocky soil? Cast it. Just go this week. And throw it everywhere you go. Power's in the seed. The Holy Spirit will bring good seed and good soil to fruition. Let you and I be good soil. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We have worshiped you. You have spoken to our hearts. Now as we prepare to leave, God, would you make sure that our pockets are full of your seed of love and grace and mercy and kindness and goodness and long-suffering and joy. And may we share it with those you'll put in our path patiently. Patiently waiting for the fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is a perfect hymn of decision. I'll live for Him. Would we stand and sing that confessionally? And if you need to make some decision for God, would you do so as we stand together? Turns to other pages. Let's sing that chorus just one more time as our final refrain before we leave with the benediction. You'll notice as you leave today, first read the announcement in the bulletin, but you'll also see some purple paper here with how we're taking a WMU emphasis to be feeding the hungry folks in our community. I hope you'll get those handouts and keep them. We're going to be stressing that all the next few weeks. Help us do that as we can reach out in Jesus' name to make a difference. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace. In God's power, in God's abiding presence, that we might be His seed-throwing people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place. Cultivate our life that it might be fruitful for your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Christ's love.